the Senate Revenue Committee. And what do we have first on the list?
Looks like Senate Bill 227, Mr. Chairman.
And we will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 227. And our friend from yesterday is back, Mr. John Phillips.
Thank you.
Mr. Malik.
Chairman, the deck of the Senate Bill 227 basically strikes a segment of Oregon Revised Statute 306245, which specifies that a tax statement needs to include last year's assessed value, tax rate, and tax due. The information that is required by the statute is somewhere else and also given to the Department of Revenue by rule, maybe with the exception of the tax rate. And this bill was produced or proposed by the Department of Revenue as a house cleaning bill. In the same time, we don't see any revenue impact or a fiscal impact for this bill.
Good afternoon, Chair Deckert, members of the committee. My name is John Phillips with the Department of Revenue. Bringing this bill to you today because of a conflict that we see in the statutes, and I want to just call your attention to the summary. I'd say that the summary, I believe, is accurate, but it can be misleading in that it says it eliminates the requirement for certain information to be included on the property tax statements. And I just want to point out to you that there are currently two statutes that outline what should be on the property tax statement and give direction in that area, and we're just removing those requirements from one of the statutes. The remaining statute is 311-250, and a little bit of background on that statute was that in 97, when Measure 50 passed in May, we were trying to evaluate what could happen in the final days of the session and whether or not assessors would be able to get tax and tax collectors would be able to get tax statements out timely. So there was a concern about what we would be able to put on the statement, what the statement would look like, what counties could compute, and there was a real issue there. So your decision as a body was to give the requirement in 311-250 that the assessed and real market value be on the tax statement, and beyond that, the requirements would be by rule of the Department of Revenue. So we promulgated a rule which lays out the contents of the property tax statement as minimum requirements, and the assessors were able to, and the tax collectors were able to get those tax statements out. Our concerns were founded in that fall, tax statements in several counties were late because of the complications of the calculations resulting from Measure 50. So we're back on track, and statements have been issued timely since then, but everything that's on the tax statement is as a result of 311-250 and our rule. So this would just remove the duplicate requirements. And one thing that is different in this statute, and Mazin pointed it out, was the inclusion of the rates. And that is included in the statute. The statute we're proposing that language be deleted. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Senator Starr.
Thank you. So the only thing that would be the language that I'm looking at causes me a little just a question. The only thing that's different is the tax rate that's going to be on the statement. It would be on otherwise, but with this alone.
Chair Deckard and Senator Starr, that's correct.
Okay.
I brought copies of our rule, too, if you're interested.
Other questions? Thank you, John. Carr? Putnam?
Yes, I'm Garth Putnam from Springfield.
Did we?
And I was up here during the embarrassment of the handicapped. I was directed up here, thought we were going to discuss some of the fine facts of how those things were going to be restored, but missed signals here. That's okay. I worked on the homeschooling movement 20 years ago, and it was really quite rewarding, and
I just hope you might look at this as a possible avenue for your legislative butt crimp things there. I would ask a thought be placed before you. Ask a child what they learned today, and then have some tutoring, volunteer tutoring, to let them know where they want to be. This block of information is going to have to be taught this year, next year, 2 years down the road. But give a child a standard to go by, and have your volunteers tutor them and go there. And I appreciate your time.
This is not what you're here for.
I'm here for this, but that's.
Well, sometimes we don't know why we're here, Mr. Let's be honest about that.
You have the fine-tuned laws, and you twist the little things around. That's fine. It keeps everybody busy. But I'm for solutions. And that's where I'm coming from. I'm 63 years old, and I'm doing what I'm enjoying. I'm going to Washington, D.C., and touch a few bases there. But that's because I have the time, and I have the air miles to go for free and visit my sister. So here I am. I'm disappointed more people aren't involved with your program. And a lot of whiners in this world. Where are they?
We appreciate your constructive testimony. Thank you for taking the time to join us this afternoon. Any further comments on Senate Bill 227? If not, we will close the public hearing and open a work session on Senate Bill 227.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
I move Senate Bill 227 unamended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 227 to the floor with a due pass. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Senator Starr, you'd be willing to carry that, and I think we could put that on the consent agenda.
I would think so.
Great. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 232. Madison.
Commander, the Senate Bill 232 basically introduces a new segment into two statutes, 311.795 and 311.796, and in essence, it precludes county governing bodies from canceling the taxes that are paid by the state on the senior and disabled deferral program in case those properties are donated to city halls, playgrounds, any municipal corporations, or a non-profit, private non-profit. So it preserves those liens on the properties. The fiscal impact doesn't seem to have any. The revenue impact might be a small positive revenue impact on the general fund, so it will, because of the fact that it will not allow the removal or the cancellation of those repayments on those properties, taxes back to the general fund, which means it will preserve those amounts. However, it might have a small impact on counties and municipalities because it might cause the amounts of properties being donated to be curtailed a bit when people know that they can't cancel those taxes that they are responsible for.
Thank you.
Mr. Trump.
Senator Hannan.
Could I ask the staff a question on this?
Absolutely.
Because I really didn't get too much out of the explanation there. This is a interpretation of who, or maybe I should wait and ask the witness. Go ahead and I'll ask the witness. Go ahead.
Mr. Phillips. Chair Deckard, members of the committee, my name is John Phillips with the Oregon Department of Revenue. The senior deferral and disabled deferral programs in Oregon are set up such that the Department of Revenue pays the taxes for qualifying individuals. We advance the money, in effect, to counties. The money is distributed as if the taxes were paid for those people. And then a lien is placed by the Department of Revenue against the properties. In this way, seniors and disabled people can remain in their homes. There's a certain amount of interest that accrues, and at such time as the person no longer qualifies by either passing away or selling the property or not using it as their principal residence, then the Department of Revenue collects on that lien, and that goes back into the revolving account. In the initial years of the program, and the senior deferral program was started in 1963. It's one of the first in the nation, and the disabled program was added in 1999. The program is initially funded through your appropriation, and for a number of years, and then the money started from the lien started coming in, and it has been self-funding ever since. So that's just a little bit of background of the program. The program's funding then is relying on the liens to be collected at some future point. And what we've actually had happen, and is now our concern, is that, or concern for you to consider anyway, is that the possibility that these deferred taxes are considered delinquent, and then they fall under this statute that the bill addresses, in which counties can have the authority to cancel delinquent taxes and interest and penalties, and then use the property that's donated for those purposes. So with that, as an introduction, if there's any questions.
Senator Hammond.
Mr. Chairman. Sam is a senior person, and I defer my property. And I pass away, and there's no surviving person. But in my will, I bequeath the property to the city to use as park property, as you said, as an example. What you're saying is the county currently is forgoing those taxes and taking the property and selling it and using it for county purposes?
Chair Deckard, Senator Hannon, the one instance that we're aware of and that brought this to light was a situation in which a person similar to the situation you've described offered to donate the property, and then the property was to be converted into a park. And under the statute, then the city or the other districts involved can go then to the county and ask the county board of commissioners or governing body to cancel those, that lien, cancel delinquent taxes. And so it would be the county governing body's decision to cancel those in that instance.
And Mr. Chairman, if I can continue. And the county forgave the lien, and it's the concern on the Department of Revenue that you don't want the county forgiving the lien.
Chair Deckard, Senator Hannon, it
because
is...
Because of potential jeopardizing to funding the self-funding of the senior deferral program.
Chair Deckard, Senator Hannon, it in one instance that it did occur that brought this to light, it was our concern the interpretation was one that we had not considered before, and we did not consider a valid interpretation, but the interpretation was made, and the attempt was made to cancel those taxes. And so, actually, this really brings the issue before you. Do you want to allow the county in these cases to make decisions about monies that you funded for that program? And if that's your decision, then that's fine. It's just this is what we thought was intended by the policy, and that's why we're bringing it before you. So you can go either way on it.
Mr. Chairman, have you gone back to the state archives to 1963 to find out what the legislative intent was at that time? Was it to exclude counties from forgiving the tax? How can you come in 2003, 40 years later, and say, well, this was never our intention, this closed door because it happened on one occasion?
Chair Deckard, Senator Hannan, no, I did not. I did not go back to 1963 or research the intent. We asked for legal advice, and we felt like we had the correct interpretation, and so we were proceeding based on that.
Is anyone here from the counties?
Please come forward. While he's coming forward, what is the status of the account?
The particular account in question, Chair Deckard, is that we negotiated a settlement with the county such that some of the lien was forgiven or satisfied and some of the money was paid. So it was a balanced decision.
And the monies on the lien, those go to the state or they go to the county? State.
As a matter of course, Chair Deckard, the monies go back into the revolving account, which then funds further deferral payments.
Mm-hmm. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Gil Riddell, Association of Oregon Counties. This is not an issue that has been brought to ALC. I would, as we understand it, this happened only one time. I would essentially leave it up to you folks to decide what policy you want to pursue.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hannan.
Gil, you've been around here 28, 30 years, like I've been around here. And for one incident to say we need a bill to change the policy, maybe it was unique under that one circumstance. Maybe the county wanted the flexibility. Mr. Chairman, rather than trying to take action today quickly without knowing what the ramifications are, what I'd like to do is suggest to you that maybe the county and Department of Revenues get together and try to work out something. That I don't want to take away the county's flexibility. On the other hand, I don't want to open the checkbook to special districts and taxing districts to say, forgive this tax, and oh, by the way, here's the bill. You owe us X amount of dollars. And that's what I think your potential is on this, is that it opens the potential liability to the deferred property account. And what I'd like to do is suggest that the two parties work out compromise on what is to be addressed. If there's a severe problem with the counties doing this, I'd like to have some input from the counties.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hannan, the timing is good for that. We're having a board meeting on the 10th, this coming Monday, and I can bring it up then. As I read this bill, though, it is limited to the narrow circumstance of the senior deferral program, and so the issue is forgiving taxes that would be paid to the state for the program. So I'd be happy to work with John anytime and run it by the commissioners on Monday.
That sounds like a good idea. Senator Hannan, I don't know if you'd be willing to work with the two of them in crafting, or if y'all want to do it on your own, but work with Senator Hannan to craft.
Sure, I'd be happy to work with him, Mr. Chairman, and I think staff, LFOs, our legislative revenue staff be involved as well, but I just think that here's one unique situation. Maybe it warranted that situation, and we're reacting here to closing the door to something that may in fact be a very valid reason. I'm not saying the Revenue Department doesn't have a valid concern. I'm just saying, is there another opportunity to discuss this? So after the meeting, we'll get together.
I think Senator Hannan has a lot of time on his hands now. It's
yeah.
President pro tem. So,
yeah, I'm bored.
Right. Welcome back.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Anything further? So that
efficient committee, Mr. Chair.
That concludes our day. We have a busier day with our last orientation tomorrow on the corporate income tax. And then starting.
They don't pay any tax. That's going to be a short presentation. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
So I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 232 and adjourn the Senate Revenue Committee.
Where they pay a whole 3%?